at 1 month after the Big Bang, the universe is radiating the way a black body would. And you remember, that's what started the whole quantum revolution, was trying to understand black body radiation. At 1 month of age, the universe is a black body radiator, and as it cools down, this radiation shifts to the microwave level, and that's the microwave background radiation. At about 400,000 years after the Big Bang, and that's where we can see the microwave background radiation, we can actually, so to speak, see that. We can image that based on the NASA satellite, the Wilkinson MAP satellite. At about 400,000 years, photons and matter, material particles, which had been effectively bound together because of the extraordinarily high energies, now it cooled, the universe cooled enough that photons separated from matter. Photons expand outward now at the speed of light. Matter doesn't. It's much slower. So matter uncouples. But the universe now is dark because the average temperature, the average energy of the photons is below the visible range. Those photons are not energetic enough now as they expand out into space to visible light. If there were an observer, the universe would be completely dark until the first stars formed, which now looks like it happened between 100 and 200 million years after the Big Bang. By about 900 million to a billion years after the Big Bang, the first galaxies formed. Now, these first stars are effectively pure hydrogen. They burn up extremely quickly. As they explode, they spread into the universe, clouds of hydrogen and helium and heavier elements that were manufactured inside the star as it went through its death throes. And then the next generation of stars that form are made of a mixture of elements already. And when they explode, you get more of these heavier elements, but it's always only about 1% of the matter in a galaxy. So that's the timeline. Now, let's go back to understanding the instruments that have given us this kind of an insight. First of all, of course, there's optical telescopy. And what's interesting is that at every stage, we think that the instruments that we have are showing us what's really out there. So we identify with what's really out there. And optical telescopes seem to have topped out with the 200-inch telescope at Palomar. No one has built a functional single mirror reflecting telescope larger than the Palomar 200-inch telescope. The Russians tried it, but their mirror was flawed and it never functioned satisfactorily. It never functioned any better than, and probably not nearly as good as, the 200-inch mirror. No one's attempted to do it. It's too massive. It's too much. Optical telescopy went through an evolution from the 17th century, Galileo's first telescope observing, the first person that we know of to observe the skies with a telescope, through to the 200-inch telescope, which became operational in 1949. The telescope is associated with photographic equipment that allow us to obviously take pictures of what's out there. And of course, we've got spectrometers. And so that was what we were using as our instruments to study the universe. And so notice how this is fixated on light. And so we identify the universe with the visible universe. In the mid-1930s, around 1935, two Bell telephone company engineers, AT&T people, were assigned the task of trying to do something about static on long-distance telephone lines. And what they discovered was that there were radio signals coming from the sun. And then subsequently, there were radio signals coming from the center of the Milky Way. Radio telescopy was instantly born. Nobody had a clue that there was such a thing as radio frequency signals coming from outer space. And then after World War II, this became a major industry, a major branch of astronomy, radio telescopy. And we have learned a tremendous amount from the radio frequency energies radiated by stars, galaxies, but also individual atoms, which are excited as they float in interstellar space by when they absorb photons. They're constantly being struck by photons. They absorb those photons. That excites the electrons in the atoms, and those atoms then radiate. Sometimes there are molecules. The story is a fascinating one. As early as the early 1950s, Harvard University Observatory invested in a small radio telescope, which was enough to discover the frequency radiated by interstellar hydrogen.